Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of First Generation, One of Many, a podcast with the mission to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first generation students. All right, and if you're listening and you don't hear Teresa's voice and you're disappointed, you might want to turn it off now. Unfortunately, she's not able to be here again today, but she texted and said, "For John, without me." But it's never the same without Teresa being around. So I miss her again, but she'll be back for our next episode, hopefully in another 2 weeks or so. We are going to take a hiatus from recording and posting for a while, as I am fortunate enough to be going in for shoulder surgery and will be resting and relaxing for a little bit after that. So thanks for listening if you're here, and we'll jump right into our quote for the day. And I think some of the words in the quote will give away exactly sort of what our guest's focus for today will be. Like always, it's first generation focused, but then we have sometimes, you know, a little more direct or fine tuning on the topic of the day. But here we go. This is a quote from Priscilla Chan, or sometimes she goes by Priscilla Chan Zuckerberg, and is the co-founder of Facebook. And her quote on education is, "Education is an incredibly personal issue for me. If you're the first generation to go to college, sometimes you don't realize your potential until others point it out." And that leads directly right into our two guests today, who are part of the Chico State First Generation Faculty and Staff Association. And when I say they are part of, they are the co-chairs. So they are going to enlighten us and help us learn much more about what the organization is doing and some of their personal experience along the way. So first, we have Dr. Heidi Erickson. Dr. Erickson is a first-generation student from CSU Chico. She got her bachelor's and master's in kinesiology and a doctoral degree in philosophy of education. By day, for the past 20 years, she has been an adapted physical education specialist for Butte County Office of Education. And at night, for the past 17 years, she's an adjunct professor in the kinesiology department at CSU Chico, teaching future adapted physical education teachers. Heidi is one of the co-chairs for the First Generation Faculty and Staff Association at CSU Chico. Welcome, Heidi.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited to see what today brings to the podcast world. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, no, glad you're here. And I think you and I bumped into each other at the First Gen celebration for the first time, sort of at the end of the spring of 20, I want to say it was.
And I believe so.
Yeah,
you and I have crossed paths a few different times for faculty learning committees and all sorts of different things.
Yeah. And so we got to talk there. So it's been quite a while in this sort of getting you onto the show, because we did talk a little bit about it there and mentioned it. And you were the one person that said, "Hey, that would be fun to be on there. Let me know." So yeah, we're here. And we got to talk last week. It was really fun as part of the CSU-wide faculty learning community on teaching to cultural strength and teaching first generation students.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a fun adventure to be able to add to our campus's knowledge, right? To have what, 6 people in the cohort this year, and we had about 8 the year before. So
it's been an amazing experience, and especially learning over the summer some strategies for first gen students. But I realized that these strategies aren't just for first gen students, they're for a lot of students, and I've really changed a lot of my teaching practices for optimal learning opportunities. So I'm really thrilled to be part of it.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's a message for a long time that's come out of multicultural education, pedagogy and curriculum and all that, is that if you're doing it designed for a certain population that has needed extra support along the way, quite often it's going to be benefiting all other students who are in the classroom as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah, cool. All right. So our next guest then is Josh Funk. Josh is the other co-chair for the First Generation Faculty and Staff Association, and he's the digital media area coordinator in Chico State's art department. He's also a filmmaker, animator, and co-director of the Animation Chico Film Festival. Welcome, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is great.
Yes, 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 sir. And I have to say, it is always fun having another Josh on the show.
Yeah, never have too many Joshes on a podcast. No,
there's, yeah, and it's funny, I've over the years, I've been here for 22 years, and I'll go through the directory once in a while, just pull up Josh and see what you get. And so now we're up to 14 Joshuas or Joshes on campus.
Wow. I had no idea I was joining the club.
There you go. And how, I have to ask you though, how often have you or do you still hear people say, hey, I'm just joshing you?
It's funny because, yeah, I used to get that a little bit when I was younger, but my last name gets more comments because Funk is like a really unusual last name. So even this morning I had someone say, how often do people ask if Funk is your real last name? And we have, we got like a really big conversation.
Oh gosh. Okay. So yeah, you got both names that helping you out there for fun conversations.
Oh yeah. Great.
So, all right. Let's go ahead and get right on in to our discussion for the day. So if both of you can share, and I'll go in order on my screen here. So Heidi, you're up first on my screen. If you can share, what has your journey through higher education been like from when you started as a student to now being faculty member?
That's a really great question, because I think you mentioned it being a journey, and a journey doesn't have a beginning and an end. It continues on, and I think I'm continuing on as an adjunct professor in the kinesiology department. When I was in Chico State as a first-gen student, not knowing what a first-gen student was, I was just a mom who was returning to school, trying to get a degree because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do that. Growing up, I was told that I wasn't smart enough and I wasn't able to do a lot of things. And I had a lot of really destructive criticism in my life. When I finally got into Chico State and earned a degree in, back then it was called physical education, teaching education, it now is kinesiology, I was kind of shocked that I was able to earn a degree and put those letters behind my name. And my kids were older and they had seen me for years and years work on the computer, tapping out papers at, you know, the middle of the night. And they were really proud that I was able to get a degree. Then I decided I wanted to teach. And so I went on and earned 2 teaching credentials. And then I thought, well, okay, I kind of am that person. I'm an older student. While I was attending Chico State. But I really thought, I can do this. Maybe this is something I can do. College was never something that I was talked about in my home. I don't recall any family members going to college. Back in my family history, I had definitely people that had jobs and really successful jobs, but not college educations. So I was the first one to graduate from college, and I was told that I was the first one to graduate from college. As I moved in and did my master's and worked towards my PhD, that's when the teaching opportunities at Chico State started to come up. And I have to admit, I had to follow people like Gail Hutchinson. She was one of my professors, and okay, she's now the president of our college. I'm not as smart as she is. There's no way. Katrina Imberg, Dr. Azevedo, all these other people. I'm not as smart as they are. But I soon learned that I did have that imposter syndrome where I really felt like I wasn't smart enough and I really had to overprove myself. But getting my higher ed did open many doors. I was able to successfully be hired at Chico State in 2005 when I'm still teaching there. And I'm teaching in teacher education for gen ed and for adapted physical ed. And I love it. And so the doors opened up with a postgraduate degree. And I still feel like I'm in a club that I don't belong to, but I think a lot of people do welcome me into their club. And I don't really have a reason not to feel like I belong, but it's all stuff I put on myself. So higher ed has really opened doors for me. I still don't think I'm that smart sometimes, but I cover it with funny jokes and snide remarks and a sarcastic humor, and that tends to help often. So that's kind of where I've been and where I'm going. Still going there.
And thanks for sharing that. I like the journey. And you mentioned something that's come up on the show a number of times in the past for people, this framework of the imposter syndrome and what that is like. And many people have it, but first generation students tend to talk about it and experience it at higher rates. And a lot of that comes from them sharing, just like you said, being the first person. So there wasn't anyone else around your house or even in your connected family of aunts, uncles, cousins, even, who were talking about college. So once you were there, right, a lot of students like yourself sharing, oh, this is such a new experience. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to relate it to. And up to this point, I may have been a very confident person in a lot of things I did and never had this feeling before, but all of a sudden I'm seeing other people and I'm thinking, wait, how do I make myself be as successful or as intelligent or as knowledgeable or as confident as those people I'm seeing? So I'm glad you shared it again, because listeners may be hearing this as their first episode. And so it's a message that unfortunately we have to bring up and we can't let it slide, so people
absolutely
know that.
And that feeling of self-doubt and trying to convince yourself, like a lot of people don't have to convince themselves that they're worthy of doing this job or worthy of being in this place. They may feel naturally they earned it or they deserve it. But when you have that imposter syndrome, you really have to prove yourself, and not always to others, but to yourself. And that causes a lot of conflict and turmoil in someone's life.
Yeah. And you mentioned some of the negative impact of your growing up and in education and what you were told, but I'm sure there's more than one, but is there one person or one moment that stands out where all of a sudden you felt extremely supported and encouraged to pursue your education?
I would have to really say when I did my thesis and I had Dr. Hamburg and Dr. Hutchinson at that time, and Jan Campbell from the health department, they really told me I could do this and really convinced me that I can do this. And then when I went to the doctoral program and I kept saying over and over again, I just don't think I'm smart enough, one of my professors literally called me out and said, you need to stop doing that. You are smart enough. And again, it was worth every penny to tell myself that I was smart enough. I don't know that it was a place and time, but I think it was people and the way they presented themselves and made me feel the idea that I was smart enough. Didn't tell me, but made me feel it.
Right. And that gets right directly back to our quote at the beginning of the episode, right? We may not understand our abilities until other people point them out for us sometimes.
Agreed.
All right. Well, thanks. Now let's hear a little from, or a lot, either way, from Josh on what's your journey been like through higher education?
Yeah. It's weird when you think back about it's such a clear path when you're looking backwards, like, oh, this led to this and this led to this. But I know that there was a lot of confusion and uncertainty starting out. For me, my parents never went to college, and, you know, my dad kind of took after his dad, and they both worked for Mutual of Omaha selling insurance. And I remember my mom worked really, really hard to apply for a job at Chico State. And she got a job in the College of Ag. It was a really exciting moment for her. And I think from that point on, she was around students and around higher education, and it was really important to her that we pursued an education. So I didn't want to. I graduated high school and I wanted to go on tour with my bands and just say, no, I've got my thing. This is who needs college. And she was like, no, you need to go at least go to Butte, at least take one class a semester. So I started out taking things I liked and music and art, but I wasn't very serious about it. So I took a long time to get through Butte. And I remember one time I was going to quit and she said, no, please just take one class. So I took a personal and social growth class and I really needed it that semester. And after working full time, my band's not working out, and taking one class, I was like, oh, I need to stick with this because I kind of can see where things can lead if I don't look for different options. Not to say you should have a backup plan in the arts. That's a whole other conversation. But so I continued and I transferred to Chico State and found myself in the art department. And I was still playing music. And I kind of thought of art as like, I really enjoyed it, but I didn't think that I was going to make a living on it. Because that's kind of what you hear a lot is, you can't make a living in the arts, which is not true. But one specific experience being first gen in the art department. So we have, I got a BFA, or I'm sorry, a BA in like the art studio. And they have this other thing there. It's a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. And I had no idea that that thing existed. I didn't know. I knew that there were students who had, there was a gallery downstairs in Ayers. And I knew that students had exhibitions there of their art. And I would walk by and think, oh, that's so cool. Like, I wish I could do that. But I thought someone had to ask me. I thought I had to be like chosen to do that. So I get all the way to, I'm graduating. I've got my cap and gown on and I'm talking to my friend like, oh, you got a BFA? How'd you get that? And he's like, oh, I applied for it. And then there was a portfolio and they accepted me. And I was thinking like, oh, it's too late for me, I guess. And I just had no idea. No one told me about that. So then I ended up working in a lot of jobs that I wasn't in love with, worked in sales, worked in retail. I tried everything I could to make a living creatively. I started a graphic design business. Eventually I stumbled into animation and making films, just for fun. And it kind of like, that was the moment that things clicked and they started to take off. And my, Nanette Wild, who taught at Chico State, she saw some of the things I was doing and she asked me to fill in for her in 2017. So this is like 10 years after I graduated. And so she was going on sabbatical and I filled in and it was, I think the first class when I was done, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Teaching is the best thing ever. And I can help these students. There were all these things I wish I knew and no one told me, and now I can help them. And I just absolutely loved it. And after that semester, I looked into my options to go and get a Master of Fine Arts. And I ended up going to Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which was they have this low residency program where I went out two times a year. So every January and June, I was there for a couple of weeks. And that was like the first time I kind of felt like maybe I was good enough because I got in there and I got a scholarship and everyone, I mean, it was tough, but I got through it. And then when Nanette Wild retired, I applied for her position and I was hired in January of 2020. I'm sorry. I graduated with my MFA in January 2020. Then I applied in February of 2020. I got the job in March and shut down.
That was it.
Well, and that was it. So then suddenly I'm having to completely relearn everything I had just figured out and how to teach online. And I'm still learning, but I absolutely love teaching and I love working at Chico State and helping students to learn the things I wish I knew.
Exactly, huh? So I'm going to go along with the cliche discussion of your last name because you love music, you're in band, so here you go.
Yeah.
How we on the rock. Give up the rock. How we
Now, this is a good podcast. This is going good now.
Yeah.
All right.
I've definitely had that. I've never had anyone play the music, though, so this is the first.
There you go.
So I just like how Josh Funk mentioned he's in bands. Not a band, but he's in bands.
Is currently or was? Is it a current tense or past tense?
I was in a lot of bands and then did like the solo album thing for a while. I have a lot of music on Spotify under my name and under a band called Farewell Letter. And then I started a new band during the pandemic with my friends. So we mostly work remotely. But now we're starting to meet in person on Fridays, and we don't have a name yet, but we're working on it.
Okay. Is there anything on YouTube?
Please don't look for videos of me on YouTube. Actually, now that we just said that, now people are going to look them up. There are probably videos of me performing a long time ago, but I haven't performed in a while.
Yeah, there's nothing under Farewell, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at what we were talking about. Okay. All right. So now, thanks for sharing all that personal
Heidi,
stuff.
Heidi's laughing over here.
Yeah, Heidi.
I am dying laughing. No professor at Chico State should ever promote themselves on YouTube as far as don't look at me on YouTube.
Don't look me up. Please,
you should never, ever say that.
Well, I've done nothing I'm super embarrassed about. Right. I do have a lot of films on there and animations that you can check.
Those are probably great stuff, right? So, so that reminds me, there's only three of us here. If there's no noise in your house, you should stay unmuted so we can hear your laughter as it comes out. it adds to the vibrancy of the show. All right. So that's a little bit of your personal experiences and stories. Now let's talk a little bit more even the current of what is this first generation faculty and staff association you speak of, and how do people utilize it, who utilizes it, and then we'll get into some other follow-up questions for that.
Well, let me kind of start as I'm a little bit older in the organization than Josh by, I think, months, and I've only been in the organization for a short time. A few years ago, when I realized there was a first-gen faculty and staff organization, that's when I really realized I was a first-gen student. And so they would hold meetings. This would be with Trey and Tasha. And they, during the weekdays, I would sneak over from BCOE on my lunch hour and attend the meeting and look at all the fabulous things they were doing. And I really wanted to be part of it, but I really couldn't because I'm not on campus during the day. I have a full-time job during the day. But if I took my lunch hour and I played it wisely, I could maybe help and participate in the background a little bit. Luckily for me, in the next year, everything went online. And so all of the meetings started to be online, and all of the celebrations were online, and students were talking to each other online. And I was able to make more meetings because I could log on to the meetings anywhere I was during the day. Tasha and Trey both had the idea that they were going to be leaving soon. And I thought, if I could do this, not during the day so much, but have a partner that maybe could be on campus a little bit more, I could do a lot of the background work or do the stuff online or do those kinds of things. And if I could team teach somehow with somebody, I think it'd be amazing. So that year, Tasha said, when she retired, she said, "I got you the greatest person." And then they just said no. And I thought, man, what did I just get myself into? I cannot do this by myself because I'm not on campus. And then she was talking about a gentleman named Josh Funk. We got the funk. You're supposed to play it now. Anyways, she mentioned that he was on campus and he was interested in maybe sharing the position with somebody because his time was valuable. And there was just some things he was doing also. So Josh and I hooked up, I think about a little over a year ago, and we agreed to be co-chairs. And it's been really, really nice because I am not on campus. I'm teaching all of my classes online this semester. There we go. That's a little delayed, but we're good. Background is good though. But Josh is on campus, so we can communicate back and forth, and for any necessary things on campus or meetings on campus that are in person, you know, we talk about it and Josh can usually make that. Anything that's online or doesn't require being on campus, I can usually make that. And we can talk, you know, pretty frequently about what's going on. So as we took over for Trey and Tasha, those really big shoes to fill, we formed a new organization with some new board members. And I have to tell you, we are a really great group. We're doing a lot of really great things. We're really focused. We've got things that we want to do for the faculty and staff that are first gen, which we'll talk about in just a second. And we've also got some great things that we want to help collaborate with the first gen students and get them back on their feet as they return back to campus. So that's kind of how we came together. Josh, you want to add anything about that?
Yeah. I mean, how do I jump in there? Cause I feel like you've covered a lot, but you know, our mission is to, you know, support the first gen faculty and staff at Chico State, but we're also trying to be a resource for our first gen students. And for me personally, I got hired, like I said, into the art department, even though I had been teaching there as a lecturer a little bit. As soon as we went online with the pandemic, I kind of like felt like I wasn't as connected. I didn't have this sense of community at Chico State. And so I started going to these first gen meetings because I also felt like, oh, I don't, like, do I belong here? Like I did, even though I just got the job, I don't feel like super qualified. Like why'd they hire me? You know, like, yeah. I kept like having these resistance in my head.
It's probably the YouTube videos and bands that
it was probably sound. All the YouTube videos. Yeah. But I remember I went to, like my first meeting was right before Thanksgiving break and I did not know what to expect. And they had, it was just like a really small group of faculty and staff, first gen, that were just like playing games and getting to know each other. And I kind of felt like, wow, like they're really, they just met me and they're really welcoming and supportive. And I was like, I kind of found my people here. And so I kept going to every meeting. And when the opportunity came up and I heard that Heidi was going to be alone on this, I was like, I'll help if you need it. And one of our concerns over this year online though, is that the student organization, first gen student organization, has kind of, they've lost a lot of members because people have graduated and they didn't have as many opportunities to meet in person. So that's been a priority of ours. And we just had a first gen welcome reception where we were, you know, meeting first gen students who are here on campus and on Zoom and, you know, getting their information to kind of help rebuild that community, even though they have their own student side of it. We just want to be supportive of it.
Yeah. So we've got two roles here. We have the first gen faculty and staff organization, and then we're really trying to help build up that first gen student association. So it really does take a great board to really divvy it out and not do too many things okay, but do a few things really well. And so we've met as a board. We actually got to meet in person a short time ago, and we kind of delineated what we thought was the most important things to focus on this semester and then an entire year. And we, over the years, they've done some really great things, had clothing drives. Josh was talking about the gratitude gathering. We would participate in gatherings for the first gen faculty and staff or gatherings for the first gen students. But obviously without being in person, we haven't had as many opportunities to do that. So we kind of just sat down as a board and said, what is it we want to do for the faculty and staff organization? And what is it we want to do for the students, the student organization? For the faculty and staff organization, we just zeroed in on when potential candidates come up through the hiring process at Chico State. And if they want to know first gen information, we make sure we're part of that process of making ourselves known to those candidates. So they may or may not be hired, but the idea that they expressed information about the first gen faculty and staff. When someone is hired that maybe we didn't get a chance to talk to, we beeline for them if we know we're first gen faculty and staff. And we have a wonderful board members who really zero in on them, and we make them feel welcome and invite them to our activities. And so this last semester, we just kind of decided, yeah, we are important, but we really need to make the student and staff, the student organization, get that back up and running and be mentors And that's been a little bit difficult because we're not fully back in person. We still have quite a few students online, like Josh mentioned. And so we want to make sure that we reach out to those students and make them feel, first of all, comfortable on the campus as they return, and know that there's mentors that are first-gen students that who are now first-gen faculty and staff by maybe displaying a placard in their office or having their name on the website that shows first-gen faculty and staff. And it's not just faculty. There's staff members in every every department on campus. And so we're pretty large right now, and we just want to make sure that we reach out to the students and get them on board also. Anything you want to add to that? I'm looking at notes, Josh, but I know that I'm probably missing something.
No, I think you covered it.
See, I'm not sure who she's talking to, you or me.
Oh, yeah. Which Josh are you talking to? Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Both answered. Yeah.
We know I'm just here to press record and stop when the show
is over. This is true. And play decent music.
Play something in the background. So, wow, a lot went through my mind on what you were saying, some of those areas. But it's great to hear that you are doing some stuff with students to get that going, because it made me think in supporting students and helping students' experiences be that much better for themselves, to feel engaged, to feel a sense of belonging and part of campus, you're then impacting faculty and staff's ability to work with students who are much more confident. So you are working with students, but that also then is, you know, indirectly in a ripple effect working with faculty as well.
They are future first-gen faculty and staff, hopefully. They'll go on and teach and do those things.
And that part of it also.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. Where are we going to go next?
What, no Fats Domino playing Heidi, Heidi, Ho? Wait, if Josh gets a song, I don't get a song?
Well, you can have a song if you like.
Oh, no.
I just, you know, that's up to you. but if you mentioned this, the board, a few different times, would you like to tell us the other members of the board?
I would. I have them. I have. We actually, Don Carini has put out a monthly roundup, and this is like a newsletter for the first gen college and proud. And it just talks about a little bit about who we are, what we are, and what we are doing. And so we do have a new board this new year. Josh is a co-chair. I'm a co-chair. We have Sandra Jagari. I'm going to say her name wrong, and I apologize. She is our treasurer. Billy Lowe is our communications and social media director. Don Carini is our secretary. Rocio Catamaracios, I am so butchering these names and I apologize. She is part of our membership. And Brianna Ellis is our liaison to First Gen Student Group. So she's been extremely busy trying to get that up. But we've got a great board. I believe we have about 100 members. We hold meetings for the first-gen faculty and staff once a month. That's on our website and on our social media pages. And we discuss what we're doing, how we're doing it, who's going to do what, and trying to recruit different members to do different things. Another thing that we do that is really cool is that we have members talk about position papers that have been posted. So it's kind of a form of professional development. Ann Schulte just presented a paper that was perfect for our first gen group. And she referenced this article, and the article's titled, Since I am from where I am from, how rural and urban first generation college students differentially use social capital to choose a college major. So the idea that we're really looking at our rural students who are first gen is like a whole other subgroup. And so what's great about this organization is we share resources and we look at professional development through the chancellor's office, through different avenues, so that we can make ourselves really comfortable in knowing what we need to know so that we can be a board that's effective on campus and not just a pretty board that knows how to sing and dance. We really have the grit behind us to really make some positive changes.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is an episode from earlier, obviously earlier, because things before today are earlier.
So they usually are, yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Like I, my grandpa used to always give me a hard time, and I'm sure it's out there too. Like people would, you know, they show you a photograph and say, hey, remember that picture? This is a picture of me when I was younger. So if you can get a picture of you when you were older, that would be great. That would be great to have. Then we'd have some time machine.
But Josh, he's in media. He probably can do that to us.
Pretty good at Photoshop.
Right. But if you do want to go back, episode 5, Anne Schulte was one of our guests on there talking about civic engagement and engaging with rural students.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's good there. Now it's technically, you know, the high D ho man is 3 words, but you can have some
that's
of your
it.
Music. Here you go.
We should have played Name That Tune. And often I get, have you ever heard that song, Heidi, Heidi, Ho? No, never, never. Have I ever heard of Shirley Temple? Never, never heard Heidi. Or Where's Your Grandfather? I get it all. And my favorite is really, my grandpa had a dachshund or a wiener dog named Heidi.
Oh, geez.
Great, thank you. That's just great to know, so.
We could go on and like yeah, all the people named Brandy, right? Have yeah. they already, have you even heard of this song? I mean, you never know, you know, so.
Anyway. She's a fine wine.
That's right. So, all right. So now we have all this. You're talking about these things going on, the board of all those people doing these things. Can you share any specific programming that's coming up this semester that people might be interested in?
Yeah, what's the next? Because we're focusing on 2 things. Sorry, we're trying to figure this out. What was the next big thing we were doing this semester, Heidi?
I believe it was our finals gift bag, was it not?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about that a little?
I don't know if I have enough information on me to
see, I think you've thrown him off with the music. He's like going, oh, I like yeah, the guitarist. Who is that singer? I gotta replace that.
Yeah, when you play funk music, it's like my kryptonite and I start losing like brain cells. Like I don't know what to do.
See, this is what's great about being a co-chair. I can cover for him right now because during finals week, we work closely with taking in donations. And we prepare finals week gift bags for students who are first gen. And I believe we drop them off at the Wildcat Pantry so they can pick them up. But it's just a gift bag through with some snacks and some, you know, erasers and pencils and notebooks, things to kind of get them through finals week and a nice snack for those late nights. And it's just one of those little things that maybe someone doesn't think about when they're at finals. Some of our students maybe have a quiet place to go and really study for finals week, but some of our students don't. They go back home to a family or they have other obligations. And just that little note of, hey, we appreciate you. We know what you're going through because we were there, I think is really key. And so that's the 2 things we focused on this semester was the finals gift bags. And we did the welcome reception. We hope to do the gratitude again and get together. We haven't even gotten together as a large group yet. And we've talked about meeting or having like a social hour of some way, maybe at one of the cafes for coffee or one of the nice hangouts that we have in Chico. But we haven't even gotten together as a faculty group or staff and faculty group. So that's another thing we'd really like to do. So for a year long, we're really looking at the end of the year, doing senior send-offs, making sure that our students, our first-gen students know how to apply for graduation, what they need to do, how to get their cap and gown. Is that something they need some help with? And so we've really decided to focus on students this year and really make ourselves available and accessible to them, which is a little bit of a deviant from the past years where the Staff and Faculty Association was really strong in being proud and first gen. We're kind of taking a little bit of a backseat to that and really making sure our students, our first gen students are out there and trying to help them in any way we can.
Yeah, and we're also giving these placards. I think Heidi mentioned it earlier, but these placards and stickers to first gen faculty and staff that they can put on their desk or in their office. So if you're a student and you're listening to this, if you see that, then you know that this person is a first gen. You can ask them questions that maybe you don't feel comfortable asking other professors or other people just about the experience and at the university. I mean, there's so many things that sometimes we think everyone, you know, we assume everyone knows this. You know where this building is or this department or this resource, or like I was saying, I didn't even know that there's this whole other opportunity for me within the art department as a student. So if you see those, then ask every question that you want.
Absolutely. And I think Chico State is such a wide, beautiful campus But I know for kinesiology, we didn't travel over to other buildings. I was at night class. I didn't know there was a BMU. I mean, that was before the BMU was there, but you know, I was in the gymnasium taking classes before YOLO was built. I never traveled over to Ayers and all Trinity. I didn't know where those things were. I used to pay my registration in, I call it the Bell Tower building. I don't even know what it's called, but I'd go stand in line with 100 people that trailed down the stairs to pay tuition because you paid it in person. So things have changed on the campus, and the idea to travel across the campus and meet people from different places, it can be difficult at times. You're laughing at how I used to pay tuition at the Bell building.
I was there with you.
Yeah.
But you made me laugh. I'm thinking like maybe they just like need like airplane tickets to travel across campus. You hop on board and you get to travel across campus. You had me envisioning this whole travel way of going. That's kind of fun. Things are extremely different. People used to show up into the gym and get an alphabetical order to pick up their financial aid checks.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And I did need to ask because, Josh, you mentioned you did your graduate work over in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. And so, Heidi, you didn't mention, where was your doctorate program?
I actually did this crazy thing about, 5 or 6 years ago that everyone bullied me about. I did my doctoral degree online through Walden University. It was a social, promoting social responsibility type of college. And everyone kind of looked down at me and said, online learning, that's just silly. And guess who has the last laugh now? Because I can do these platforms like no other.
Yes.
I can do timelines and I can go into chat rooms or bulletin boards like no other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to admit, imposter syndrome hit me like maybe they're right. I'm not in person. But like Josh talked about his residencies, I had to do 4 residencies somewhere in the United States. And I fortunately stuck to the West Coast and was in Colorado, Arizona, and Southern California when I did my residencies. But I did it, you know, within the 2.5 years. And it was important to me to do it online because I had small children. Well, they weren't so small. They were actually in high school getting ready to go to college, which is even a more important time to be home and not be absent at night that much. And so that's where I did my doctoral degree. And I'm really proud of it now, being that it's online. And I think the value of online learning has been shown to be effective for some students, not all, but many students. And it worked for me.
And I wanted to ask to get it out there. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I knew from what you had shared in previous meetings we've had where you went to school, but I wanted to make sure it's there because any students who are listening to hear what the broad spectrum and opportunities are for them if they are interested in graduate school. And now you mentioned trying to get in touch with students and help build up the student organization a little bit more. But moving forward, some of that may not be as easy as back in person because the online part's not going away.
Right.
Right. And so with the investment that campuses are making in Chico State, we are second in the CSU system with the number of high flex classrooms that we've invested in. And there are more to be coming down the road inevitably with what is there. And we see the benefit. And so a lot of first generation students are ones who are taking advantage of this online part to be able to stay home, save some money, whatever the different situations may be for themselves, to take care of family, to have their own job. They may have already been working. And so they can keep those. So it's good to hear, right, for them that these opportunities are available and they don't necessarily have to move and go live in the town where the college is from the very first day. They could maybe wait a couple of years till they get to that point where they end up having to move because of what's being offered. But by then, you never know, there may be enough hybrid online options for students. And so
I think of some of these doctoral writing papers, you know, instead of it being due on Tuesday night at 9:30, now it's due, you know, every 3 weeks to where you can sit down and do the time that you can find valuable enough to sit down and do it. I did mine between, I think it was 1 and 4 a.m., you know, because that's when the house was quiet. But if you can hold a job, you can have a family, you can take care of other people. There's a lot of things you can do and you're really doing it on your time. And again, it's not for everybody. That some people need to be in person and I totally appreciate that. But for those students who have the fortitude to sit down and do it, I think it can be very powerful.
Yep. And it's great with the High Flex, Chico Flex options we have now on campus that people can learn a little bit of both. And they can see like, oh yeah, I didn't mind having that option to be at home some days and be in person some days. And other folks, the course I'm teaching this semester has, I did the Chico Flex. So there are a couple of students who haven't made it into the classroom yet because of circumstances and things they're doing, taking care of, but it helps them make sure they're still in class. They're confident with the work they're doing. They're doing great work. And their stress level is so much less. Absolutely. They don't have to worry about trying to get to campus. But there's other people who have been in the classroom every single day because they love it. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that they wake up on Thursday like, huh, I think I'll stay home today. I have the option. This is great. I'll just relax and get some stuff done I need to do around here and not be rushed. So it's great. We'll see some of those things really impacting first-generation students in a lot of positive ways as we move forward.
Agreed.
Yeah, so thank you all for sharing. Now, unfortunately, we have, again, run into that inevitable thing called time, and we are almost out of it. So we're going to go right on into our recommendation section. All right, Josh, what do you have to share today with listeners?
I have two Instagram accounts I'd like to share. The first one is for our association. So it's at CSU Chico _ first generation. And that's first is with a one, a number one. And then also my students in the digital media area of the art department are making amazing work. And I just want to give them a shout out. And we do have a lot of first gen students in there. So on Instagram, you can check that work out at Chico State Digital Media.
Yeah. And I was going to recommend that before the show, I told Josh, but I've been following that one for at least a year now, I'd say. And it's always refreshing when it pops up on my Instagram of like, hey, here's what's happening. Oh, look at that. Wow, that's amazing stuff. So I'm glad you did that. I'm going to jump in front of Heidi because Heidi's is going to help lead us out of the show today. but I am sharing just if you like artwork, I think that became the theme in our discussion, some of it today a little bit. But years ago, I would say almost 24 or so years ago on campus, I got to work in the University Art Gallery, and one of our guest artists for a show was Alex Gray. So if you aren't familiar with his work, go check out Alex Gray artwork. And it is very chakra-based. And so a lot of mindfulness type of artwork that you may be familiar once you see some of the things, you go, oh, okay, I've seen some of those around before. So there's that. All right. So Heidi, if you want to let us know what you want to share, I think we're ready to roll.
All right. Well, Josh Funk was really cool about shouting out to his students at Chico State. I just love after you come back from summertime, you always think of a summer song. So when you hear it, it reminds you of the summer of. Well, there was a song that came out from an artist that I know is not brand new, but it's Citizen Cope with Carlos Santana. And he sings the song Sideways. And it's an amazing song. When I think of it, I'm going to think of this summer when things just didn't go the way we wanted it to. They all went just a little bit sideways. So Citizen Cope and Carlos Santana with Sideways.
Flowers, they bloom. I'm telling you.
Hit tonight. Nikki
All
Yasa
right.
Hilo. Nikki
Thank
Machuk
you
Tamaidu.
For being here, you
Hello,
two.
Everyone.
It's been wonderful.
My name is Hilo, and
you.
I'm Machuk Tamaidu.
Tuning in.
Like we said, acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machukta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machukta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Like that. The other day, Dad'll send me asking for some bread.
He said he needed a little extra to calm his stress from these methodologic golden.